Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. A bad seed, a broken hand, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad locks, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in New York City. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show. Got up, should do battle. My friend Nick, come run, flutter, party up. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Every day, 55-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. I'm back from the Caribbean, St. Thomas, baby, in the Big Apple. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, so 855-212-4, CBS 4227. Glad to see the place looks like a landfill after I got back tonight. What is the deal, Carver High, in here on the floor? What is that about? Like, have you ever seen anything like that?
No, I'm not really sure what happened in there.
What is going on in here? There's, like, garbage everywhere on the floor, and, like literally, it looks like warfare.
Welcome home.
Do they ever clean it? Ever?
Not sure.
That's my question. Who's back there? I just see someone's hair in the back. Who is that? Are you going to answer me? Peterson? Who's that? Is that some new dude?
Yeah, he's training.
Peterson, what's happening, brother? You have no idea what you're getting involved with. I know that guy, right? He's been in here.
This is your guy right here.
I know him. I've seen him in here before. It's been a while since I've been here. I've lost my touch and my desire to do it. I've also decided to become a drug dealer in the Caribbean. Mostly coke and heroin and pot, but we'll get into that on another show. Wait, are we live? Test 1-2 Summerfest. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that and live there and do that. I'll probably end up in prison. Maybe I can sell them here at the landfill. Wow, I see, as Bob likes to say out in the newsroom, things are certainly shrinking around here. The walls are closing in. I should do stand-up when I'm in Vegas this week. I'm warming up right now. I've only been on the air 4 minutes. I've already threw down Mafia. How many good jokes? At least six?
Seven.
Lucky sevens, Carver. How are you ready to go to
I'm ready, baby. As mentally prepared as I can get.
Did you see the other guys, Ryder and Klug, with like, Ryder had a sport coat on. He was going to the airport.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
Who wears a sport coat in Vegas? Not me. He asked me what I was going to wear to the fight. I said, shorts and a t-shirt. Those days of me wearing suits to watch all those hyenas dance around and scream at the Mayweather fights are long gone. I've already been to that shenanigans. Mavi, am I wrong? How about some of the clowns I've sat next to in the front row at Mayweather fights? Even with my wife. Like, my wife wanted to kill herself, right?
Right. Some of these idiots that are there, you know, that are involved with the crew.
Hyenas and drunks, right? What's worse? Seriously, I mean, like, people inebriated. They can't even see straight, let alone watch the fight. Right? And I'm worried about what I'm wearing? Please. You'll be lucky if I wear shoes.
I've got jackets with me.
I'll be honest with you, I'm bringing so many shorts, swimsuits, and t-shirts, and nothing else that I never unpacked from the Caribbean. I'm taking everything I wore there. I'm not bringing suits. I'm not bringing pants. Pants are for femmes, bruh. Who wears pants? Mafia wears pants every day. When I'm in Vegas, it's 110. He's wearing pants.
I'll have shorts on during the day.
Bruh. Listen, you're hanging with me. We're going to hit. You're going to get that. Let's just refrain from saying where we're staying. But your place and my place, two different keys. We're going to pools all day.
Oh,
that's
no
what
doubt.
I do. I go to pools all day and look at chicks in bikinis.
But for the next week at the D, I've got outfits for those five nights.
Believe me.
I got the whole thing going.
The D is like mob. It's so badass. You're going to like it down there
way better.
Wait
till they see what I'm wearing those nights.
Bro, the strip sucks. We're going to be up there miserable. Miserable. And just bleeding money. Bleeding money up there. They're not doing anything for us there. You go down to the D, you're living like Elvis, bro. Ask Mafia, am I wrong?
Living large, on scholarship.
I mean, you are on full scholarship, son. And strippers and blow. Your girl, Louisville, Cardinal style. Like, I'm talking Louisville, recruiting parties. All right. I just wanted to say that tonight I got injured at my house. I tripped on a step. My dog got in my way. That 100-pound monster got in my way. I hit a step. I tripped, and I landed funny. And Mafia, you know that? Remember the? Let me show you the muscle. Remember this one that I pull all the time?
Yeah, right there on the lower back.
What is that?
I don't know.
Dude, I injured that thing tonight. I tore it. I mean, I'm in agony right now. Anybody got any pills? I'm dying in here. What else? Matt Snyder will join us at 10:40 from CBSSports.com. He's a baseball writer. 11 Eastern, Kurt Heelan, NBC Pro Hoops Talk. Gee, do you think we're going to talk about the Celtics and Cavs blockbuster deal as Kyrie goes to Boston for IT? Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizek, and the number one Nets pick in 2018 that could be a lottery top five pick at the end of the day, right? I think the Cavaliers fleeced the Boston Celtics tonight, is my opinion. Fleeced them. Now, look, Kyrie's great and everything, but, I mean, didn't Isaiah Thomas score 30 points a game for him? Didn't he? Did he not score 30 points a game for them? And not only that, Thomas is going to do that in Cleveland, and they got Crowder helping Thompson on the glass, and they got Zizek, and they get a first-rounder. And Crowder's going to help Thompson? Are you kidding me? Jay Crowder fitting with playing with LeBron and Thompson and the rest of that love? And if I'm literally, I hope you're hearing this, if I'm LeBron James, not only am I not moving to New York or L.A., I'm doing a expansion on my mansion in Cleveland. Why would you leave Cleveland? Why would you leave?
Probably getting D-Wade once he gets bought out by the Bulls, too.
Is that the deal? Is he going there?
That's what everyone's saying, that eventually they're going to buy him out and he's going to go there.
He's going to go to Cleveland, too?
Yep.
Jesus, I need to go back to the Caribbean. Call in and talk about that. John Jones is a liar and a thief and a drug user and a junkie. Is that about cover it? Carver High?
I think you covered the John Jones situation.
He failed a drug test at the UFC event of the year. Wasn't that in July? The event of the year, wasn't that the biggest fight ever? Wasn't that what that is?
On your birthday, yeah.
July 29th, Jones beat Daniel Cormier to reclaim his light heavyweight title. The guy failed a drug test for steroids again for the second time he's failed a drug test. Now, the first time, was it for steroids?
Yeah, there was something that popped his test last July.
He got busted for cocaine.
Well, he got busted for cocaine first before he fought Cormier the first time.
And then...
Then got busted for steroids in July last year.
And now steroids again.
Now steroids again the third time that they finally fought the second time.
Well, can I sum this up? He needs to be banned for life from anything to do with the UFC. And have fun with that this week in Vegas, Dana, as you're trying to sell your sport at the boxing event. Have you noticed the PR of the boxing event, the entire thing's about UFC fighters? Is their media serving up? They're serving up UFC fighters to everyone. Here's a note. Here's a little tip for everybody. Let me just catch you up. Whether you like me or not, go tell your mother, because it's a boxing event. I don't want to talk to UFC guys. Thanks. You have a UFC fighter. What is he doing on Saturday? What's he doing? Is he getting in the Pharrell and Octagon, or is he getting in a boxing ring? Carver, hi, tell me.
The UFC fighters are doing nothing on Saturday.
Okay, what is Conor McGregor doing on Saturday?
He's boxing.
Okay, so is this a boxing event or a UFC PR party?
Well, it's a box. Supposed to be a boxing
event. Why do they send me? Why do these suits here send me all these emails about UFC fighters I don't want to talk to?
Because they want the UFC fighters to tell you about how they think Conor McGregor is going to win.
Well, screw that. How does that sound? Thanks. I don't want him. I'd rather talk to you on the air and get ratings. Thanks. My vid, would that account for 8 and 9, or am I still on 7?
7.5.
Screw you. The build-up to Mayweather and McGregor continues as the world begins to arrive in Vegas with a fight just 4 days away. The people I work for are convinced that there is no event at all in Vegas this weekend. That's what I've been told through my intermediaries. They told me that the people that run this place don't believe that that's an event of any kind of magnitude. So what they're going to do here is talk about the Yankees for, like, I don't know, pretty much, I think, upwards of, like, how many hours would that be, Mafia? Like 72 to 104?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. What are we going to, Saturday? Is that the event of the year?
Yes.
Oh, wait. So I'm going to the event of the year, but everybody else is going to be talking about Aaron Judge hitting 160 since the All-Star break.
He didn't strike out tonight.
Oh, he walked, what, like 7 times? There you go. There's a full day of programming. Am I at 8 now?
Yes.
Thank you. It looks like the Giants' Odell Beckham Jr. may have dodged a serious injury in last night's loss to the Browns. How embarrassing is it to lose to the Cleveland Browns ever, preseason or regular season? Honestly, I don't even care about his ankle. How embarrassing is it that you couldn't score a touchdown against the Cleveland Browns? Think about that while you have your ice cream tonight, okay? What could be worse, honestly, in life? No offense, Cleveland. I love you. You're great fans, great city. But your football team sucks ass, and that's all there is to it. And if you lose to you guys, I mean, life has no meaning, right? How many times have the Steelers beaten them in a row? Like 100? Seriously. I mean, let's get down to business. Carver High, is there anything worse than losing to the Browns?
No.
All right, there you go. Matt Snyder at 1040. Isn't it great to have me back on the air? So much better than everyone else. Well, it must have been hell without me listening to all the shows. I mean, can you imagine? It's like being naked out in a snowstorm, isn't it?
Night and day.
All right. Thanks to everyone that filled in, though, for me. I really appreciate it. I know J.J. Jody did a great job, but imagine the audacity of Carver High trying to make it through a week without me. It's so empty without me. Well, that's a ton of job for me. A little bit of controversy. It's so empty without me. Well, that's a ton of job for me.
I'm going to spend plenty of time with you the next 11 days. We'll make up for it.
All right, I got to go. 855-212-4CBS. Oh, wow. Look at this. There's a bunch of baseball games tomorrow. On a Wednesday, tons of games. Let's see if any of them matter. I guess when the Dodgers play, it matters. They're in Pittsburgh. Cubs are in Cincy. Boston and Cleveland, that's a good game. Arizona needs to keep winning. They're in Citi Field. Bombers are in Detroit. How about Washington and Houston? There's a good one. Texas on fire. They're in Anaheim. So know this. Get every pick for every game every day at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Football is back, baby. College football actually starts this weekend. Then tons of games next week when we're in Vegas. Plus preseason pro games all this week. You get everything for one low price, even boxing, MMA, and daily fantasy. It's all there. Best price, best results. Sign up now, PharrellOnTheBench.com.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. I'm Pharrell with Mafia and Carver High Legends. We're in New York. We're live again. I was gone for, what, 7 shows? Seemed like forever, though. Like, I was gone, the 11th, and then all of the week of the 14th, and then 21st, right? Isn't that about right? And now I'm back. So here's the deal. I just want to give you an update on everything. We're going to be in Vegas on Thursday and Friday at the MGM, right? Doing the Mayweather fight. So we'll be live from Vegas from Thursday and Friday night, 10 East, 7 West, at the Media Center at the MGM, which is basically now, in not so many words, down the street, right, from the MGM. It's on the Las Vegas Village on the Strip, right across from the Luxor. That's where the the media center is going to be. I think they it's a makeshift thing that they did. They did that for Pacquiao too. So we'll do the show from there, and then Carver High, tell them what we're doing.
And then we're going to the D for the entire week from the 28th to the 1st, downtown Las Vegas.
So we'll go there on Sunday.
Correct.
What a horrible day to go there.
Well, we're going
to
pop in there on Saturday, too.
We're going to pop in there on Saturday, but what we should really be is there Saturday night throwing down. You have no idea. The party will be there after that fight. That's where the party will be. And believe me, you can ask Mafia. Seether's going to be there. Derek Stevens, all those people. Are you kidding me? Or I could walk around the MGM and maybe get shot dead, which will be great. There'll be like all kinds of gangsters and thugs and street criminals and con artists and pickpockets and hookers, right? Wait, you don't think that's going to be the way it is? Just so you know, that is the way it is. Believe me, I've been at big fights a million times. I was at the Tyson fight the night the guns went off. People started running for their lives. So then we do a week of shows at the D View Bar starting Monday the 28th. That's next Monday. So we're less than a week away from that. We're 6 days away from that.
Yes, cannot wait.
So it was a week from last night.
Yes.
All right. So next week we're at the D, which
five
is
five big shows.
That'll be where you really have fun. And then, just so you know, did you see the I Am Scott Farrell app?
I sure did.
Did you see the new broadcast capabilities?
We'll put that to use.
Did I not call that would be ready by the time we went to Vegas?
You did.
It is now ready. There's a video stream now on the I Am Scott Farrell app and a chat room, right?
Like, I feel like we're going to start using that, like, from the airport before we even leave. Oh. Like, that thing's going to be cranking.
I have a feeling we'll be doing that in the limo.
Yeah, that's possible, too.
In the dark.
Anything can happen. Which is really the rallying cry for the next 11 days.
Anything's possible!
Anything's possible!
So there you go. So check out the I Am Scott Farrell app. You can get it free in the App Store. It has everything on there now, and live streaming video, and a chat room, and all our social media, and my picks, and our daily fantasy. All of the videos from in studio here at, I don't even know what this is anymore. And then it's got everything. All our guests on CBS, all of it's on there. Maybe I should film the floor in here. I think it would be entertaining, don't you, if I showed everybody what it looked like? Do you think it would be entertaining? Mafia's like, that's 6.5. He's taking back jokes now. I was at 8, and now I'm down to 6.5. He yanked 1.5 from me right there. So, did you see today in Vegas when they arrived? They did the grand entrance? So Mayweather showed up. It's 110 degrees. He showed up in a long sleeve shirt. What's up with that? And then the other guy showed up and got in a fight with Paulie Malignaggi because the other guy can't even control himself enough to realize that he's like the event, and he's still arguing with the side piece on the side of the, like, Paulie's basically like a fan now. He's off to the side with the fans getting in screaming matches and talking about his onions with the other guy. The B side of the event.
I can't blame McGregor for that whole situation. I mean, can the guy go away? Honestly, just leave him alone. Why are you getting involved again?
Right. I've lost all respect for him now. I don't even want him on the show. He's so embarrassing. I hate to say it. It's so true. Dude, you're so embarrassing now. Just stop. Go get drunk or something. Get a hooker.
Your anger and your hate, I think, is coming off as erratic.
Is he not the most painful guy in the world now with this whole thing of his obsession with Conor McGregor, Paulie Malignaggi? Is he not painful? And he's my boy. Like, I've always been friends with him. I just don't get it. I don't get it, the motivation behind his insanity. He's, like, lost his mind. Like, no one cares about you, bro. You're good at what you do on Showtime. Leave it at that. Stop trying to be the story. Is he not trying to be the story here? Every step of the way, he's trying to be the story. Like, he beat him up in some sparring session. How embarrassing is this? It's so embarrassing. Just stop, for Christ's sakes. Honestly, dude. Go to the pool or something. Pick up a new girlfriend. Do something else. Leave him alone. It's his time to shine, not yours. Your career's over. You don't fight anymore. You broadcast. Stop. Before long, they're going to fire him, right? They're going to get enough of it. They're going to be like, we've had enough of this. You're a freak. You're like a sideshow. You're a distraction. You're painful. Just stop. Don't you think? You said it best, didn't you, Carver High? Remember what Carver High says, quote, he shouldn't even be doing the fight, end quote. Did you not just say that to me earlier?
I did. Routed through mafia.
Remember what Carver High says, quote, he shouldn't even be doing the fight, end quote.
Should have been pulled off it the second he signed on to be a sparring partner.
Right.
Once you're involving yourself in the camp of McGregor or Mayweather or anything.
You're on the take.
Once you're no longer impartial, you're out.
Right.
And now it's gotten even worse with the back and forth fighting about it. It's just, how can this guy actually broadcast the fight on Saturday?
Do you know, remember when Herb Street, he would never give you a pick on Saturdays of games he's calling? That's legit, right? But this guy's, he's so deep in it. The fight, he's been such a part of it, the story, with all of his BS, that I don't see how they can use him. But, you know, they're stupid enough to use him, right? They think that everybody wants to see his continuing drama with McGregor. I find it painful. I don't know about you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, before you start your travels this summer, prepare for them. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts for simple, preventable maintenance that'll ensure a safe journey during the summer months. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4CBS. All right, Matt Snyder joins us from CBSSports.com to talk baseball. Hey, Matt.
Scott, how you doing, man?
Everything's good, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench. So let me ask you, I was watching the Yankees game tonight, right? And is that about accurate that Sanchez has suddenly hit like 5 home runs in 7 days? And I think he hit another one tonight. One of them, he hit 2 tonight. One of them was from what I'm hearing now, the second longest home run of the season in baseball. And I saw him hit it. He cranked a Boyd fastball literally, I don't even know where it landed. I saw it smash off the outfield, like, scoreboard, like, in left, like some big giant TV monitor with his face on it, and the ball bounced back into the seats. I mean, it was a gargantuan shot. And I know that Judge gets all the attention and all the publicity, but is this guy suddenly showing us that bat that he showed us last year again?
Yeah, man, he loves something about August. I tell you what, I went back from August 3rd through today, that's 17 games. He now has 9 home runs in the last 17 games. And remember, it was 20 last year from August to the end of the season. So something about it, it's probably a coincidence. But, he had that injury early in the season. A lot of people, it's funny how the hype train just came to an end so fast with him, because he started like 0 for 9 with a lot of strikeouts. Then he was injured. And by the time he came back, everybody was in love with Aaron Judge and had just forgotten about Sanchez. He's been really good since about early May. And that home run at Comerica that you brought up, it looked like it hit that scoreboard, didn't it?
It did.
And I tell you, in the 2012 World Series, the auxiliary press box was below the scoreboard. And I remembered sitting there and thinking, there's no chance in the world anybody can get one to us. And Miguel Cabrera, even in batting practice, and that was 2012 Miguel Cabrera, the MVP and Triple Crown winner, did not even get any close to us even in batting practice. So that gives you kind of a feeling. I mean, if 493 feet doesn't do it for you, that gives a little added perspective as to how far that is.
Do you think he's better than Judge overall? Like, so Judge, to me, and no one wants to talk about it. They barely mention it. They're like, oh, but he was so great in the first half, hitting 370 and hitting 30 home runs, that it doesn't even matter that he's hitting .160. To me, it does. Like, his second half, in my opinion, has been embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, he's still hitting some home runs, but he's in a slump. He kind of knew it was coming, because if you looked at his minor league numbers, he was never this kind of guy that was going to challenged for the batting title and on base percentage crown. And like, he was always huge slugging because look how big he is. But hitting for average like that, he never really did that in the minors, and he always struck out a lot more. Well, now you're seeing the strikeouts come back. Sanchez, though, again, in the minors, he never hit for this much power either. So it's tough to see moving forward. Obviously, I think Sanchez is better right now, but Judge was way better in the first half. And they're both really young, so at least in terms of experience, Judge actually isn't that young. But at least in terms of experience, so maybe there's growing pains right now, and Judge needs to adjust back to the adjustments the league has made to him. It's a tough call right now to call, like, who's going to be better all around moving forward. I don't think either one is the wrong answer right now.
All right, fair enough. Matt Snyder with CBSSports.com. Let me, while I'm in New York, I do want to bring up some stuff with the Mets. First of all, I was gone all week in the Caribbean, and I came back, and I saw that Grandy had been traded to the Dodgers. Good for him. And then, because, you know, now he's got a shot for sure. And, you know, he's decent for sure. And then, but the thing I really want to talk to you about is your comments on that. But more importantly, is the Mats elbow. How badly did they butcher this guy, saying all along he wasn't injured? Meanwhile, his elbow was fried, and they kept putting him out there. And now he has to have surgery. And then the litany of pitcher. The saga of every single star pitcher they have gone for the year with shoulder, elbow, arm problems. Their entire season was a disaster because all of these alleged greatest pitchers ever, they were all Tom Seaver, if you remember, at the beginning of the year. Everybody said Mets were winning the World Series, and they have stunk, and all of their pitchers' arms fell off except DeGrom. Literally, have you ever seen anything like as many star pitchers falling down with arm problems as the Mets?
Well, I'll get the first part of the question away because it's really easy, which is, Curtis Granderson, 14-year veteran. He's been to the postseason six different times. He's been to two World Series. He's one of the nicest, hardest-working guys in the league, one of the best teammates in the league. So good for him, as you said. And if he does get a ring, great for him. That would be awesome. But in terms of the second question, no, I don't think I have seen anything like it. I mean, it's to see every single one of them at some point deal with something. DeGrom's was only temporary. But even he had something at one point. I don't even remember what it was because there's just been so many to try to keep track of with the Mets. And I do think they've mismanaged guys for a while. You go back, Harvey, the year coming off Tommy John surgery, it was like they had this kind of shutdown or at least limited innings take, and then this plays out all through the media. Then they just changed their mind. Then they let him go all out in the playoffs. And, in fact, Terry Collins lets Harvey talk him into going back out for the top of the ninth, and then they end up blowing the game. And it just kind of continued there. Noah Syndergaard was totally unnecessary. He had issues before the next time that he insisted on taking the ball, and then he goes out and he makes it worse. They can say it was something different, but if you hurt one thing in your arm and you're trying to throw 100 miles per hour, then you're probably going to favor that one thing and then hurt something else. So they should not have sent him back out there. Again, I think they got kind of strong-armed by the pitcher. Why do you do that? You're the boss. You tell these guys when they pitch, not let them dictate it. And the Mets, again, total mismanagement. And he's been mismanaged, it looks like, throughout his career. Early in the season, remember, he expressed concerns about the training staff and the management and saying, I'm not right, but they say they can't find anything wrong with me. And chicken's coming back to roost again on that. So at some point, it's not a coincidence anymore. They're just totally mismanaging all these young arms. And I know there's always backlash against people saying, well, you got to toughen up, you got to toughen them up. But, hey, in the good old days, people didn't throw 102 miles per hour with a 92 mile per hour slider like Noah Syndergaard does. And they didn't use to throw as many pitches at such a young age, along with curveballs, as they do in the youth leagues this year, especially the ones where they play year round. And that's what Dr. James Andrews is continuing to try to stress to people is you should play more than just baseball. You need to play three sports. You need to get out there. You need to rest your arm in the offseason, play baseball one season, rest around the rest of the way. I think we're starting to see that come to fruition with all these arm injuries. It's that in addition to the velocity, but I do think the Mets have completely mismanaged their guys.
Matt Snyder raging on baseball with us again on the bench from CBSSports.com. Can you even believe that, like, the Angels are a half game out, so Mike Trout has something to live for here in Anaheim, and then Seattle's there, Kansas City's definitely there, and Texas is somehow despite their season, which was, you know, dead in the water, they're 500 and they're two back. I mean, all of those teams are clearly in this race going into September. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look at the Angels. There's only so much one player can do, and Mike Trout was even hurt for a little bit, but he's still getting better. It's ridiculous. It's his sixth year. He's still getting better, only 25 years old. He's carried them a little bit, but Andrelton Simmons, he's always been the best defensive shortstop in the league, which is saying a lot because there's a ton of unbelievable defensive shortstops nowadays. Now he heads into Tuesday hitting .293 with a .348 on base, 13 homers, 18 steals. He's doing it all. You got to give him some credit. The defense all around has been very good this year. They're somehow getting by with Ricky Nolasco as one of their main pitchers, Jesse Chavez. Parker Bridwell has been very good since he's moved to the rotation, and the bullpen has been situationally very good. I really am liking seeing the Angels in the race with Trout there. But, man, you talk about that race. The Twins have a lot of exciting young talent. The Mariners is a great storyline because they're the team with the longest postseason drought, and we've been seeing droughts fall a lot in recent years, so that would be cool. We know about the Royals' ability to make postseason runs. The Rangers are right there a lot, but they traded Yu Darvish. How crazy would that be if they sold Yu Darvish and then still made the playoffs?
Wow.
It's everything across the board in the American League is crazy right now.
So when I was gone, you're filling me in on everything that's happening in the world, which is very important for your role here, and I appreciate that. What is the deal with the umpires? What are they all mad about?
Well, Angel Hernandez made a bad call, which I know is shocking. Please note the dripping sarcasm. He's not very good. Ian Kinsler went off on him, and you could see him cussing him out. This is a clean version, saying, "You're awful at your job. You're terrible at your job," over and over and over. And when people asked him if he wanted to soften his language, I believe it was the next day before their game, he basically said, "No, I'm sorry that he still has a job," and just totally undressed him. I don't think I've ever seen a player go that hard after an umpire when it was the day after, when there was time for cooler heads to prevail and all that. He totally went nuts on him. And so the umpires decided that they were going to wear white wristbands in protest of how unfairly they're being treated and how it's open season on the umpires. So then Manfred says, and by the way, I think because of replay, they get a lot less crap than they used to, because basically nobody ever argues any calls except balls and strikes now, because the replay takes care of everything else.
Right.
But anyway, so Manfred says he'll meet with them. They took off their armbands after one day. It was a one-day protest. Kinsler got fined $10,000 for his comments. That's the most we could find ever that a player's been fined for his comments. But again, it was probably the most vicious a player's ever been. That's the nuts and bolts of it.
Wow. I got to tell you, this is just me like getting into the scene again for the first time in like 10 days. That's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard.
I know.
Like, it's really like a white wristbands. Great idea. Who came up with that one, Fatso? I mean, that is the worst idea I've ever heard by anyone ever protesting anything. Let's all wear white wristbands. Good one. What'd they do, sit around and smoke weed and think of that one? I mean, that is the weakest thing I've ever heard in my life. Hey, Matt, great stuff tonight. Always a pleasure, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench. We'll catch up again before the end of the season.
Sure thing, man. Have a good one.
All right, Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Carver High, I have 60 seconds. Am I wrong that that's the most pathetic thing you've ever heard of in your life, the white wristband protest?
I could not believe that when I saw that over the weekend. And the best thing those guys did was the next day to end it, because they just looked like morons doing that over the weekend.
Mafia, what did you think when you saw them all wearing white wristbands? I was like, this is pretty femmy.
I thought that was incredibly weak, because I know that you're not allowed to rip the rest, but Kinsler's right. You know, we know Angel Hernandez's name because he sucks at his job and screws up games.
Isn't he the guy that...
he's the one suing them, too.
He's suing them because he thinks Joe Torre's out to get him?
How's he worked the All-Star game?
And then didn't he work the All-Star game?
Yeah.
He thinks he's being, what?
Unfairly targeted.
Right.
Discriminated against.
Discrimination. I have heard it all. I got 15 seconds. You were right about Sonny Gray. Boy, does he suck. He
stinks.
He hasn't won a game.
He threw 100 pitches in 4.5 innings the other day.
But he hasn't won a game, has he?
I won the Met game he won.
Jesus, he is just what a bunk-ass thing that's turned into.
What a tough team to beat that was.
He's going
to
win in the World Series, remember? He's their ace. They don't have an ace.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.